Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome. Woo-hoo. Welcome. Come on in, everybody. Yes. That's in the hallway there. And we're just going to open up with scripture and worship and worship and worship. Yes. And we're going to worship all day, even with the communion, with the word, going home to our families. Just always keep the Lord first and foremost in your heart. So I'm going to open today with Psalm 46. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength,
yes.
Very present help in time of trouble.
Yes.
Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us.
Yes.
The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes.
Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes.
Selah.
Thank you.
Selah. Lord, we think about it today. We think about your goodness. We think about your presence, Lord God. We think about your being a refuge in times of trouble, Lord God. Lord, we know that this year is going to be difficult with the election coming up and all the things that create chaos and turmoil in our lives, Lord God. But we say we trust in you.
Yes.
We rest in you. We surrender to you,
yes,
Lord God. We surrender all our hopes, our dreams, our wants, our needs, because you have been provider of all those things, and you will continue to provide,
yes,
Lord God. So, Lord, we ask today, Lord God, that as we humble ourselves in worship, that we surrender all to you, Lord God, that we give you all that we have because you have given us all that we have.
Yes.
You have given us and have been all that we need, Lord God.
Yes.
So today, Lord God, we exalt you, we worship you, we give you glory and honor.
Yes.
Be exalted in the praises of your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Morning, church. I want to talk a little bit about Noah today, but I'm going to read first where he's mentioned in Hebrews and Hebrews 11. And you know what? I don't even know if you want to follow along with me, because I'm going to be a lot of little verses here and there. The story of Noah is way too long to just read through the whole thing. So, and I'm assuming here everybody knows the story of Noah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Hebrews 11, I'm going to start in 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And this just kind of sets the tone for me, because it says basically that Noah trusted God.
Yes.
I mean, really trusted him. Trusted him like he knew what happened in the past and believed it. You know, like yesterday, I trimmed my bushes. Now, there's nobody that's going to convince me otherwise that my bushes are not now trimmed, because it happened in the past, and I believe it. Well, that's how well he believed God. When the Lord spoke to him and told him something, it was a fact. That's it. Therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness and faith. See, it wasn't what he believed and what Noah thought or worked himself up, because we do that sometimes, don't we? You know, we're in fear, but we'll work ourselves up and go, oh, no, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. That's not faith. That's, I mean, you're trying, don't get me wrong. It's good, because that's what I do that, you know. It's good, it's a start, but that's not faith. So I love that he was so certain that when God spoke, that was it. And I also love what it says here, because it says that he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Because you know what? Anything we do, any faith we have, any righteousness we have, it's never just for us, ever. It's always for others, our household here, the lost. Now I'm going to go to Genesis. And if you want to read through the story of Noah, it starts in 6 and goes to like 9. Yeah, it goes through 9. So in Genesis 6, I'm going to start at verse 5, I think. And this is just to sum up, you know, what's going on here. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But, I love it when God throws a but in there, because things are about to change. Yep. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's, I mean, that blows my mind. All right, let me finish. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. So because Noah walked with God, because he was faithful, he was perfect, and that perfect is basically integrity. He was a man of integrity. And when you think about it, you know, Noah was in the midst of, you know, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. If all the intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually, can you imagine living in that? I mean, our world is pretty lost. And there's great darkness out there, and it just seems to keep getting worse, but it wasn't this bad. It's not this bad. But yet, he kept his integrity, and he didn't compromise, and he believed in God in the midst of that. That must have been extremely difficult. And he had grace from God. And I love that it says he actually walked with God. He was determined, no matter what was going on around him, that he was going to walk with the Lord, and that he was immovable. And, you know, I mentioned the church community we have here. You know, Noah didn't have that. If he was the only one, he was out there all by himself. Now, it doesn't mention his family. I'm assuming his family was, you know, like-minded as him. But that's why I never could understand why people don't come to church.
Right. Amen.
I mean, you have this. There's no reason to be alone. We need each other. We really do. And this is a huge blessing. I mean, yeah, you got to get up early maybe on a Sunday and, you know, yeah, it's a beautiful day and you're sitting in here in a dark sanctuary, but you know what? This is our blessing. We need each other. So he's told to build an ark. We know that story. I'm not going to read that part. Some of the commentaries I read said it took like 125-ish years to build this. Wow, right? Now think about it. He doesn't have a saw. He can't go to the Home Depot and buy himself some gopher wood, I think is what was used. Yeah. You know, he's doing this on his own. I'm assuming his sons helped him. But can you imagine to keep that faith and not doubt the word of God for 125 years?
Amen.
Now, I know a lot of us here have been praying for things, praying for people. And we say, I just talked to Janine not long ago, what more will it take? But you know what? He didn't doubt. We have to make sure we hold on to what God has promised us. And to what we, because you know what, when we're praying for things, let's face it, most of the time, unless you're asking for a new car, you're probably praying God's will when you're praying for people, right? To get right with the Lord, to come to church, to, you know, be free from whatever's going on in their life. So the ark is a symbol of preservation, of rescue, rebirth of human life, and new beginnings. Doesn't it sound just like Jesus?
Yes.
I saw so much of Jesus in this. So anyway, one of the things he had to do was cover this ark with, it's called pitch. And what pitch is, it's like a glue-like substance. In Leviticus 17:10, the word pitch is used, and it actually means atonement. And this one in Genesis, it for sure means covering. And I thought that was powerful. See, God is telling him, you build this, you're going to have atonement and covering for the storm that's to come, for the judgment of the whole world, really. And this atonement, this covering, is protecting him from that judgment, just like Jesus' blood does for us. And you know what? Some of us might be in a flood right now. But, you know, don't we always kind of live like, okay, one's going to be coming? I mean, you know, I mean, we go through stuff, right? And we need to make sure we remember that that pitch is there to cover us and that God made a provision for that. Genesis 7:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, so he gives him all the instructions and everything, and he builds the ark. And he says, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are a righteous man before me in this generation. This is the first time God calls anybody righteous in Scripture, and it's Noah. He was watching him those 125-ish years it took him to build that ark, you know? And he tells him to go into the ark at this point with all the animals in his family. We just read that. In verse 4, it says, for after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth. So he's getting specifics now of what's going to happen with this destruction. 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. I love that before the danger comes, he's warned. You got 7 days. Get it together and get in the ark. You know, and I wonder how in the world they got all those animals. I mean, can you imagine watching that? Just divinely coming into an ark. And think how big this thing was. I know there's one somewhere in Kentucky or something. I don't know where it is. But, I mean, think how big the doorway had to get in the ark for an elephant to get through or a hippopotamus and how strong it had to be. I mean, the weight of 2 of those on a you know, ramp to get into a ark. But he warns before the danger. So he goes before us. He provides, protects, and seals us in. And you know what? I mean, some of you know this, but I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer in early 2021, and it was during COVID. And, you know, the Lord told me, you know, He gave me some words, but the doctor didn't want me to work. My oncologist said, do you have disability? Because you really shouldn't be working. And I'm like, no. Certainly shouldn't have been in church, you know, during COVID a cold could have killed me, you know? And, you know, so I was checking into disability. I'm doing the practical stuff, you know, and, you know, temporary disability, I'm reading the qualifications and I'm like, I go, Lord, I don't want to be this sick. I don't. I mean, time off work getting paid sounds good, right? But I don't want to be this sick. So I was praying about it, and I could have got the temporary disability. I qualified. But the Lord was specific. He said I could work, not to eat lunch with anybody, because we got a lunchroom, obviously. And he told me I could come to church. told me I could be with my family. And, you know, my kids were real careful. I mean, if somebody had a runny nose from allergies, you know, they're like, Mom, you can't come over. You know, so I knew I was covered with them. They were very careful. But you know what? The Lord was faithful. He told me. He did it. Didn't catch COVID. Never caught a cold. You know, nobody came to church. And you know, that still blows my mind. Still blows my mind. That able-bodied people can come here and don't. And don't. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that. So anyway, you know, it was a season where I was in a storm. It was a great storm. But you know what? God provided protection for me. He provided covering in the pitch. I had people praying for me, probably people I don't even know were praying for me. God provides before it even happens. And you know what else I love about the story with Noah is he also provides a new place to be when the storm is over. See, I guarantee you, Noah and his family did not come out of that the same as they went in. And you know what? If we're in a storm, if we're in a trial, if we're going through it, we should not come out the way we went in. We should not. We should be different. God doesn't do this or allow it just for the sake of, you know, building our muscle, whatever. There's a reason, a big reason. I mean, my faith, I can't even tell you how much greater my faith is post-cancer than pre-cancer. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, I still have moments, don't get me wrong. And in Genesis 8:17, it says, he gives a command. I mean, you know, the rain subsided and, you know, the ground's dry, blah, blah. And he tells them to be fruitful and multiply, him and his family. And you know what? What we gain when we come out of that ark is meant to feed others, to produce something, some life in others. It is never just for our sake. What I have gained in the times that I've been in that storm is never just for me. It's to multiply. Multiply in my life, multiply in your life, multiply in your life, co-workers, your family. That should be the fruit that we're sharing from others in the midst of that. And you know what? Something else I wanted to point out, I forgot to mention, I didn't write it down, was, you know, that door had to be shut and sealed. You know what? I'm going to read that. Let me find where that was. It's 7:15. It says, "And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, all the flesh in which was the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of the flesh, was as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." I forgot to read this. This part is so good. The Lord shut him in. Now, I don't know if Noah literally shut that door or not, but there was a protection. There was a covering of that door that was shut. I mean, think about that. That pitch can't be put on the outside of that door when they're all inside. That's right. And I guarantee you none of those wicked people out there were out there going, "Oh, we'll seal it for you." You know? The Lord, I believe Jesus himself probably shut that door and sealed them in. How amazing is that, that when we're in that place, God not only provides an ark, but he shuts us in. He shuts us in. Yes. And I was wondering, wow, was he there the whole time? 40 days and 40 nights waiting for the, you know, water to recede and everything? That little few words, and the Lord shut him in. So we can take communion now. Lord, you're just amazing. Lord, your word is amazing. Lord, you're good to us, Lord, all the time. Lord, in the midst of destruction, Lord, and wickedness around us, Lord God, Lord, you're still good. Lord, you provide a place for us, Lord. You provide a covering, an atonement, Lord God, and you shut us into you, Lord God. Yes. That place in you, Lord, where nothing can touch us, nothing can harm us, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I just ask that you would, by your body, strengthen us, Lord, and by your blood that you would cleanse us, Lord God. Amen.
Come on, y'all. Let's not act like we're scared. We're scared to sit by each other. Well, I guess this is good enough. Now, praise God. It's been a while since I've been up here. And it was a reason for it. You know, God has really been dealing with me in a lot of areas. Areas that I thought I was already past. I had no desire to speak. If Oz wouldn't have came to me, I wouldn't be up here now. But I found out, and the thing that threw me the most was, you know, I'm very adamant about spiritual gift, the giftings, using them, seeing them function, because when I see you functioning them, I see God using you. That's the closest we're gonna get. Besides him being in us, is seeing somebody else flow in them. And he used me once or twice here. He used me a couple of times at work. But the first time he used me and the Spirit directed me to do it was at Bethel Church over here off of 696 in Shaner. And it really released me because I didn't know it was him till he got done. That's how God is, y'all. That's how he is. I didn't know it. He said, the whole time the man was preaching, he started telling me, somebody in here, man, got a problem with their back. And as soon as the man got done, as soon as I got a chance to say something, he said, anybody? I said, yeah, me. And that lady, when I spoke it out, that lady jumped up. It's me, it's my back. And the Lord said, it's about 6 or 7 elders in here. You get her and you pray over her. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed for that lady. And I never saw her again, I never been back, but I know God had did a work in her life because it was supernatural. Now today, that's some of the reason why I hadn't really been up here in a while, because I was seeking God of how do I get to a place where you can always use me, God. And he told me, he said, first he was talking about my faith. No, first it was unforgiveness. You gotta forgive. I was like, man, okay, God. Worked on that for a while. Then he worked on my faith. Then he said, it's your faith. Then I was like, okay, I'm working on faith. I'm back and forth studying. I'm studying. Then he said, it's your mouth. He said, it's your mouth, Bird. I said, man, wait a minute, you told me. He said, it's your mouth. I said, what am I doing? He said, it's your mouth. And I said, okay, Lord, help me to see this then. Help me to understand this. Now, okay, let's do this. Let's go to Matthew 12, and let's start in verse 33 to 37. God, use me, Lord, today. Just use me. I'm getting better at hearing you. I'm getting better at submitting. Just use me, Lord. Gary, I hear the Lord saying, it won't be long. You're going to be called pastor. It won't be long. See, you submitted. And he ain't going to forget. Amen. Amen. Okay. 12:33. Let's start at 12:33. Now listen. This is, you know, Jesus, the heading in my Bible says good and corrupt fruit. Now, you got good, you got corrupt. They're not supposed to come from the same vessel. They're not supposed to come from the same vessel. Now watch what he says in 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruit. 34, O generation of vipers. Now, wait a minute, man. Now, hold on. I'm going to break this down. He ain't necessarily calling us vipers because we're in him. But he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they were the people that carried the law and preached the law then, but they were the main ones trying to condemn people. That's why he called them vipers, because they're acting like their father, Satan. That's a good place to shout there. They were acting like Satan. They were. They were trying to kill him. So he said, oh, generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? They thought they were speaking the right things, but they weren't. They were speaking what was taught by man. And they took the scriptures and came up with their own discernment for it. And so Jesus is here, he's putting a check in that right now. But watch how he does it. He says, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Brothers, sisters, we got to be careful. We ain't talking about this blood pump. Do-doom, do-doom, do-doom. No, we ain't talking about that. We talking about the center of your being. That's where things exist that it's always some turmoil and some troubles going on in there. 35, a good man out of good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now hold on. I got to go back, but I'm going to hit this one thing first. Let me ask you this. By your words, you shall be justified. And by your words, you shall be condemned. Who's the justifier? And who's the condemner? Jesus is the justifier. When you speak those things that's conducive to the Christian lifestyle, you're going to be justified in heaven. But guess what? You start speaking those evil things out of that evil treasure in your heart. Satan is the one that's running. See God? See God? See God? See God? Just like he did Job. He's the accuser. He's the condemner. But it's nothing God can do if you got the scripture here and you keep living up that lifestyle, speaking out evil things. You condemn yourself. He already justified you. When you got saved, he justified you. He gave you a whole new life, a whole new way to go. But the enemy is picking at you. Then he hit harder. Then when you don't respond, he hit harder. Don't eat the, isn't his way?
Yeah, it is.
But he wants you, listen, he wants you to get over, he already knows. He already knows he wants you, he knows what he's going to try to get you over in condemnation.
That's right.
Because he knows that you're in his area. And you're basically under his control at that moment. And this is why Jesus is saying he called them generation of vipers. Because they were speaking out things that were so wrong and so against the word of God. But watch this. I looked up idol. I said, let me see what idol says in the Greek. Watch this. The Greek word for idol is argos, A-R-G-O-S. The definition of argos is, an argos word is inactive, unfruitful, barren, vain, or dead. Idle words are words that have no life, no purpose, no meaning, or direction. That's not Christ. This is why he's saying, watch what you say. Your tongue can make you or break you. Life or death. Now I'm hammering this on y'all because he hammered it on me. And I'm like, I ain't been talking crazy. Which I wasn't. So I used to have a very, very short fuse. And I'd pop off in a minute. But I thought I was over that, God. He said, no, no, you're not. He said, I can't put my power on you with a little bit of that in your heart. And it broke me down. It really hurt me. I said, but God, you used me over at that church. You use me at the job. You use me at Lord of Harvest, giving forth a word. He said, I wanted you to see how it felt to flow in the supernatural, so that you'll want it even more. Now you will stop allowing your heart to speak out negative things, and you will only speak out life. I was like, man, you love me that much. Because he wants me, he wants us to have it. He wants us to move in supernatural things. He wants us to speak out words of love and life. That's what he did. Remember, the same things I've done, you will do also. Jesus never spoke anything crazy out of his mouth. Never, never, he never did. This is where the warfare is. This is our warfare, y'all. People come up to you on any given day and you ain't even think you could be in the store getting some greens. And you in the way of her being able to get the greens that she wants. And she'll walk off around you, yeah, all in my way. And you're like, what, woman, what'd you say? God telling me, shut up.
That's right.
Don't you say nothing. I'd be like, Lord, she, man, I ain't in her way. He says, shut up. Because see, me, I always been that one that just, I had to just let you know, hey, man, you out of order. He said, bird is not even. He said, it's not even necessary. He said, because you got to understand, you have a pastoral anointing on you. It don't matter if you say something good or say something bad, they can turn around and ain't going to like it. I was like, man, okay, Lord, let me just go and go get my pork chops and stuff to go with these greens. See, because that's how it is. I'm trying to make it palatable, trying to make it so you can understand it. The littlest things you say can blow your prayer. Something you've been praying for a long time. I mean a long time. The littlest thing. Especially if it has any hint of unforgiveness there. Of what somebody in your family said or somebody in your family did, and you don't want to let it go. It's hard with our family members because we think, oh man, they should have knew better. They supposed to love me. No, Satan can use whoever allows him to use them. And guess what? Your family member know you got to forgive them, so they going to even dig it in even deeper. They gonna go up one side of you and down the other. Come on, y'all. Talk to me. Don't act like I'm some alien somewhere. You know your family members can push that button. All right. Let's go over to Matthew 15. And we're going to start in verse 1. Trying to help you here because the sooner you understand that good and evil can come out of this thing, the more farther you're going to get in the supernatural. This is the thing that's stopping the supernatural from flowing in us. It really is. Because and when I get down a little further in this chapter, you're going to see that's what it is. See, you got to understand, it's always going to be something that God got to work on in you. It's always going to be. But the thing about it is that those things he started dealing with you with, don't push them to the side. Let him deal with them so he can remember, you are a branch. He's the vine dresser. He got to clip that stuff off. Yep. That cussing. Okay. Why? Sometimes I understand that anger. But so I didn't say nothing to them. And then that resentment. Shit, now what talk? I don't know who they think they talking to. I'm saved. I've been going to church. Me and the Lord got a relationship for 25 years. For 25 years. Who you think you talking to? He got to cut that off. He got to cut it off. And see, now I understand what, and it was really with my kids, sometimes with my kids. Because my kids would go on and go on, and I'd just be like, hey, slow down, slow your roll. Got to remember who you're talking to, man. And God even got on me about that. He said, don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. He said, because you're going to get the opportunity to show them where they're making their mistake at. They gonna understand why this ain't happening for them and why. And he said, you can tell them it's their mouth. He said, because it was your mouth, it's their mouth too. And I was like, man, this is pretty good, God. Okay, this is cool. He said, don't go off, don't check out. Okay, 15:1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress commandments of God by your tradition? This is something that they grew up learning. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Listen to that. Now, what mom and dad has done is one of the biggest things we need to get over and forgive them for, because you know why? God didn't put that clause in there. He didn't put that clause in there, what they did to you. He said, honor. Because remember, you're sinful too. You have the ability to do the same to your children. It's funny when you start breaking this stuff down. Watch this. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightst be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. It doesn't matter if they did good or bad or profited or not. God said, honor them. See, he's getting us away from being able to point the finger. Well, you did this and you said that. And why did you do this? And why did you do that? He ain't talking about that. He said, honor. Seven, ye hypocrites. Listen to what he called them. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain. Remember, I just mentioned vain in Matthew 11. Vain words. Words that don't mean nothing. He said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines that the commandments and the commandments of men. It's in vain. It's useless. It's unfruitful. We have to watch what we say, but we also have to remember that it's what's coming out of our heart that comes out of our mouth. Okay, let me go down a little more. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth that defileth a man. Ain't what's going in. You can eat pig feet, you can eat chitlins, you can eat hog mugs, you can eat all that. That ain't gonna defile you. But boy, I tell you what, start talking about what the neighbor doing next door when they playing their music too loud, and you will be going to hell. Because it's coming right out of the midst of you. I know it angers you when the, okay, let me, I gotta tell you the story. It was this prophetess at the church I used to go to a long time ago. And this prophetess came, and she was walking. And I was sitting in the front row. This one, I was elder at this particular church. And she came in, and I was dealing with that murder spirit. I was dealing with it. I really was. I was dealing with it big time. And I'm talking about, man, I would be thinking about just out of nowhere shooting somebody. You know, it was on me because it was on my family, the men in my family. And then I grew up off of 12th Street. I grew up, people, to see somebody get shot was nothing. Stabbed, beat up, jumped on. So that got ingrained in me because I was about surviving. It wasn't to be a tough guy. It was to survive. Had to go to school with a pistol. To go to school, high school. So she said, so watch this. She came and she preaching good, man. And she said, oh. I said, man, it's a couple of people in here. She said, dealing with the murder spirit. Man, my heart liked to drop. My heart was on the floor. Because I'm an elder. I can't stand up. I'm in the front too. I can't stand up talking about it's me. So she walking. She walking this way. And she picking up on it. I'm in the front. She didn't ever stop in front of me. I got to tell you this part. This helped me get delivered, though. She walked on this side. And she walked down the middle. She got halfway. And she stopped. And she went back. I said, oh, my God. I'm getting ready. I ain't going to be elder tomorrow. Then she walked back this way. I was like, whoa, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You do love me, don't you, Lord? You love me. She came back up. She said, okay, you don't want to come up? She said, you don't want to come up? She said, I'm giving you another chance, man. I'm like, hey, my knees knocking like dying knots, man. I'm sitting there like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And then next thing I know, I just jumped up. She's like, that's one. But I wasn't the one. It was another guy in there that was dealing with it worse than I was. She said, thank you, elder. She put it all out there. People know I'm an elder now. They know I'm like, man, oh, this is not gonna end good. Brother stood up and she went straight to him. She said, I was waiting on you. She said, the reason why, she said, is not only a murder spirit on you, but it's like a contract that Satan has out for you to get you killed. brought him up, prayed for him, and then she pulled me up and prayed for me, and she said, you don't got far to go, because I was giving it to God. I was giving it to God. I sold the guns. I sold them. I was trying to give it to God, but I didn't know how. But that day, bam, I walked out of there, felt good. I didn't need a gun anymore, but I still had residue of it in my heart. I didn't get delivered from it till I got here. You gotta understand, people, it's in your heart. And you got to give God time to cut it off. But you got to let him. He can't force his way in there. Because you will pick it back up and be back at it again. You got to let him have those things. I know it's some hurts. I know it is. I know it's some things that they've said on the job. Love and his mercy and forgiveness all over that wound, and you won't even remember it anymore. I had to tell you that. See, because I was scared, but that is when you sitting there scared, it's you that need to get up, because God wants to deliver you then. It's not all the time that the Spirit is going to be able to maneuver you in the place where you can get deliverance. You want to be delivered. You want to be. You don't want to hold on to it. All right, let me finish. Let me finish this. Okay. 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard this saying, but Jesus, he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Are you also without understanding? Jesus asked them. Do not ye yet understand that whatever entereth into the mouth entereth in at the mouth, goeth into the belly, and is cast into the drought, is passed out. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. We gotta be very, very careful. Because the thing with our mouth, if it's in, down in our heart, down in our innermost part, it could come out at any time. It don't give us no notice, oh, it's getting ready to come out. Have you ever said something that you hate you said? Man, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, why did I say that? Those are the times that God is talking about. He wants to perfect us so that he can put this supernatural power in our hands. But he can't work through a defiled vessel. He can't work through a defiled vessel. I had to just accept that. I was like, wow, okay, Lord, I got you. Now watch this. We have to guard bridle, discipline, and bring under submission our tongue. I'm going to repeat again. We have to watch, guard, bridle. That's James. We're going to go over there. Discipline and bring under submission our tongue. The tongue is a little bitty member. Boy, but he could talk big trash, can't he? I learned how to be silent at the job. It took me a while. I learned how to be silent because I just started to understand that just about everybody else around me is, they just talking. They start from 6 o'clock in the morning and be talking to 2:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like, man, don't you get lockjaw or something from talking so much? And they be talking about the same thing. My boat, my car, my ex-wife took all my money, my son on drugs, and just on and on and on and on and on. And I got smart. Got me a good pair of headphones. And I listened to the word. All day. I listen to the word. They be talking to me sometimes. They be like, yeah, Adrian, whatever. I be like, uh-huh. And I be uh-huhing about the word, not about what they talking about, because I know it's idle conversation. I don't mean to be rude. Man, the ladies, the women in my trailer park, man. This trailer park, it ain't number old, the old school ladies got money and this and that and the other from divorcing their husband. Man, why do I want to come near? What kind of fun am I going to have? You're starting to see where I'm going with this. You can be, I've seen people, I've seen people flowing in the spirit, man. I see them flowing. I see them flowing. I'm talking about big time. Before I came here, I was under an apostle, and we would go to different places and different churches. And I was his armor bearer when we would go out of state, and we'd be in meetings, and these pastors would be talking about anything they wanted to. And I wonder, like, man, how can you be flowing in the spirit talking like that? Okay. Got a few more minutes. Let's go to Mark 11. Now, Mark 11, I'm going to start in verse 23. You only got a little bit left. I got to give you this, though, because, see, I hope this is helping you to understand. You got to watch what you hear. You got to guard your ear gates. You got to guard your eye gates. And then you got to guard your mouth. Okay. I live down the street, down in the hood, they just come out of the house with anything on. But here it is now, and God showed me my growth. Right past the house, when I'm out there cutting the grass, they got their nice little tight little spandex on, they jogging, got their headphones on. You gotta watch that. You gotta watch what you see, because the enemy, you got to remember, the enemy is trying to find a way in. He's never going to stop. Never going to stop. I got a membership up here at Crunch. I was in there, man. I was on that bicycle. This was last year. I quit going there. I said, man, I forget that. I don't need to get in shape that bad. I'm sitting there just paddling, cooling down. Man, this one lady walked by, man, I kicked up to 30 miles an hour, dude. I was like, whoa. Because I let it in. I didn't watch. I should have been prepared at the gym for somebody that fits the criteria that I like to walk by. But it taught me a lesson. See, it teaches you. And so I said, okay, yeah, that membership is done. I'm going to have to get mine out on the streets, because it'll set you up. And you got to be careful what you let in. Okay, watch this. 11:23. Mark 11:23. I'm starting to wrap it up. This right here is going to show you for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, but that shall believe that those things which he those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. This is a spiritual principle. You gotta use your mouth for it to work. But it ain't gonna work. You was just cussing somebody out. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. You just gave somebody a piece of your mind, but you believing for that good job. It's not gonna work. It's not going to work. But it's another thing why it won't work. And this was the reason why God wanted me to bring this forth today. 25. And when ye stand praying, this is praying. So this is somebody that know God, that know Jesus. You praying. When you stand praying, forgive. 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 If ye have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of yours. Unforgiveness will stop the flow of the Spirit in your life. It's two realms. It's the natural realm, and it's the spirit realm. And they both are right here. They both are right here. And you got to understand, you can't talk any kind of way and expect the Holy Spirit to show you or reveal to you or tell you anything. Unforgiveness cancels prayers. Man, I've been praying, but what have you been doing all the other time when you ain't praying? What have you been saying? 9 times out of 10, it's going to be something that you said. I know this is a tough word. It was a tough word on me when I was putting it together. Because that's one area that I'm still dealing with. I'm not as bad. I'm not telling you this that's Pastor Bird, he's a good guy. No, I'm telling you because I've been working at it. Let's go over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 4:24, and I'm going to wrap this up. Because watch this. 4:24, and we're going to start. I'm going to start in 24. I could go through the whole thing, but I'm not. For the sake of time, I'm going to start in. Let's start in 24. You got to say amen. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. So it is a righteous anger. But it don't have to lead you to sin. Anger is an emotion. That's why the Holy Spirit is in you to help you cut that thing off. Stop. Because anger will run. The longer you think about it, the more it's going to take you. It's going to go to this level and that level and that. And you saying something can lead to you getting a machine gun or a bazooka. You're going to do it long range. But our mouth is a bazooka. If you let the right words come out, it's a bazooka. Because you got to remember I taught words are carriers. It either carries evil or it carries good. Okay, watch this. 27. Neither give place to the devil. When you get angry, if you dwell on it long enough, you already gave place to him. He's the one that takes it to the next level. He's the one that comes with all that old sidebar crazy stuff to do. Well, I'm going to tell him this, and I'm going to say this. I can't wait to see him again. I'm going to tell him a piece of my mind. Waste of time. It's a waste of time. Watch this. 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. 29. This is the one I want you to see. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out. You got to put a bridle on this thing. The thing that's tricky about the tongue is it can come out and it don't have to register in your brain when it's coming from your heart. Don't shout me down. I'm not here to expose nobody. I'm here to give you some answers to how to beat this thing. This is a, my God. Watch this. But that which, it says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what needs to come out. Yes. Things that minister grace. Get to the point to where if don't nothing else come out, it's loving, it's kind, it's gentle, the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Remember those things. Because sometimes, man, the person that's, I was up at Kroger's the other day and I went in there to get, I forgot where I was going. I got something, and I came out, and I was turning, but I saw the lady walking. I guess she thought I was going to run her over. But I stopped, and when I stopped, she was cussing me. She was cussing me. And guess how far she was from the truck? She was at the table. Anger. Angry. Frustrated about something. People will cross your paths. And it ain't God testing you, because God don't test. It's the enemy. The enemy is trying to see, can he get in? This dude is relentless. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah 6 real quick. I'm wrapping it up. I got a couple more minutes. Then I'm going to give you some scriptures, and then I'm going to close. James 3, you all know James 3. I could go another hour on James 3. I'm not going to do that. I ain't even going to James, because if I start in James, y'all going to be talking about, Bird, come on, you sound like Oz now. Okay, Isaiah 6:5. This is a, whoa, this is beautiful. Because I wondered, me having that prophetic edge, John, you know what I'm saying? I'm wondering, like, God, it had to be somebody else, man, that was as bad as me. It couldn't have been, everybody couldn't have had a good, clean, wholesome tongue or upbringing. And he showed me Isaiah, and I loved it too. Watch this, Isaiah 6:5. Oh, man. Watch this. Okay. Then, this Isaiah, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Oh no, this is the prophet. This is the prophet that saw years away. You can't be that bad. But it was a different dispensation. It was a different dispensation. See, God was upon them, came upon them. He's in us. So he expects a whole lot more out of us than he did them. But watch what he said, and watch the grace that God gave him. Woe am I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, hanging a live coal in his hand from the altar. It was a coal from the altar. Which, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this have touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. We love to criticize. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. We love to backbite. Complain. Fault find. Dude, I've been blamed. And if I told you this story, if I told you this story, y'all would be like, my God, but I ain't gonna tell it. Fought fine. And I was talking to Oz, I went over Oz, and I did his yard and cleaned his yard up and was cleaning up his flower bed a little bit. And he came out and was talking to me, and I was like, man. How could this be? That the person calls me and tell me the situation they in is because of me, and my situation is totally different. He said, Bird, you gotta understand, you a pastor. He said, they gotta take it out on somebody. He said, they always saying something that I said or I did or how I acted. This is where we must really, this is where we really need to guard our tongues. Because whatever you do to your neighbor, someone else will do to you. That is a spiritual principle. It is. It's coming back. If you don't stop saying this and saying that and doing this and doing that with your tongue, it took me a while to figure it out. But the less you have to watch your tongue, the more peaceful you will be. Because you won't have to apologize so much no more. Read James 3 for yourself. And if you want to get these, get some of these scriptures, you can get them from Andrea and them. I leave because I had a whole set of scriptures in Proverbs that I would love to go. Well, let me give them to you real quick. Let me put them out there. No, I'm just going to give them. I'm just going to say which ones they are so you won't be looking all over. I'm sorry. I had to give you these. These are some good ones. Okay. We got Proverbs 15:4. We got Proverbs 18:7. We got Proverbs 18:20. And we got Proverbs 18:21. say, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And then we got Psalms 19:13. Amen? Psalms 19:13. Now, Father, I thank you for touching your people today. I thank you for using the word. I thank you for using me. I just really thank you for touching Oz's heart to ask me to speak, Lord. As we go, Lord, bless everyone here. Everybody that's on the internet, Lord God, bless them. Open up doors and make things work out for us, Lord God, that we can give you praise and we can give you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.